Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You guys need to smile. Oh, now I can see your smiles. All right. We're going to be preaching this morning out of Ecclesiastes in chapter 12 and verse 1. Why I'm preaching out of this passage, other than I've been looking at several different things, and this one just strikes me and seems appropriate for the times. And so let's just see what God does with it. And I do have a little cough, but don't get nervous. You know me, I've had a cough since 2006, so it's nothing that's going to be bad. Oh, by the way, somebody made me a custom face mask, and on the backside it says, "We're all going to die." So I'll save that one for Home Depot and wear it when I meet the Corona police over there. It is true. Yeah, you go into Home Depot, I'm in and out of the vendors all day, every day. I'm in and out of the job sites 5-6 days a week. When everybody else gets ready and goes back to work, I already told my boss, I'm going home. I want to be at home. But look at Ecclesiastes in chapter 12 and verse 1. Ecclesiastes 12:1. We're going to read a couple of verses here. Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinders is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Wherever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bow be broken, or the pitchers be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Let's bow and ask God's blessing on our time. Lord Jesus, we thank you that even in these times, Lord, you've just been with us, and you've taken care of us, and you provided for us. I do pray, Lord, for any in our assembly, in our families, Lord, that might be suffering undue hardship because of the present situation, that you would just take care of them and provide for them and be with them, Lord. And, Lord, our hope is not in the things of this earth. Our hope is in you, Lord, and in you we trust. And, Lord, we ask that you bless this message to all here that are here in person, plus all those that are tuning in on YouTube, and even those that will listen to the broadcast later on and run across it, hopefully. Lord, that you just do good and that your word would be blessed and encourage and strengthen and change people's lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we've got a passage here, and I needed a little encouragement this week, and I don't know why I ended up in Ecclesiastes for encouragement, you know. Getting all this is vanity. And you might misinterpret that and think just off the top of your head that, you know, that Solomon is very depressed at this time and very much filled with hopelessness. But if you read through Ecclesiastes, you might think that he's a weirdo, but he's actually thinking clearer than 90% of the population of the earth right now. He has a clear picture of what is important in life. And Solomon had a very unique way a unique opportunity. He had a unique opportunity, and that opportunity he had because of his position as king and because of his wealth and his ability to be able to take command people. He had the ability to experience just about anything in life that he wanted to experience. Can you imagine being in a position like that? You would think that that's a dream situation. Man, I have the ability to do whatever I want in this world. And believe me, in this world, there are a lot of really, there are a lot of really interesting things. You can't deny that. Man, there are some things that I thought, man, if I ever got the opportunity, I would love to do that. Or I would love to have that, you know. There are some possessions. There are some pastimes. There are some occupations that you think, man, that would just be. Have you ever thought, have you ever expressed an interest in your quote-unquote dream job or your dream wife or your dream husband or something like that? Man, if it were possible, I could have that. Well, Solomon had that, and he actually went out and he experienced it. I'm telling you, he had live singers in his house. He could have a live band right then. He planted groves. He got into agriculture. He got into trades and commodities and gaining possessions. And his conclusion, of course, as you read Ecclesiastes, is that all is vanity. All is vanity. You think, how in the world can that be? All is vanity. What are you talking about? All is vanity. No, all is not vanity. But he's right. I'm telling you something. He is right. I talked with a couple a while back, and they were building a home on the lake. And the wife was telling me, she said, we have been planning for this our whole life. This is the culmination of, and of course that puts a lot of pressure on the contractor, you know. Wow, we don't screw up your house, you know. But then I got to thinking about it, I got to think, wow, you know, how, I didn't tell her that, of course, but how shallow. Everything in your human life here on earth culminates to what? To having a house on a lake with a boat. And believe me, I'm not discounting that. If somebody said today, hey, I'll trade you your double-wide trailer out there on Southside for a house and a boat on the lake, yeah, dude, I'm going to use it for ministry, you know. I'm going to take brothers out on that boat and bless them, you know, and encourage them. I'm going to figure out a way to do this right, you know. But in the truth, it's all just vanity. And it came home when I looked recently. Oklahoma had a few tornadoes, and there was a house on the edge of a lake just completely destroyed. Now, can you see how that could be vanity? You've lived your whole life for that, and in just a couple of seconds, it's gone. A high wind. You can't plan for that. You can have insurance, and insurance doesn't always cover everything, and all of that could be gone. You could actually lose your life in a second. So Solomon is thinking clearly here. And I think one of the blessings that we have in this time is some of the things that we have so much taken for granted, all of a sudden now may be threatened. You know, not just by the virus itself, but by the reaction to the virus, you know. Our economy could be in shambles. Who knows what's going to come tomorrow? None of us are prophets. None of us really can tell. But it does make clear what's important in life and what's not. And I want you to think about this verse, because I'm going to concentrate on verse 1. I'm going to gloss over verses 2 through 6 where it talks about the aged and the teeth coming out and the eyes getting dim and all of that, although that's the direction which every one of us is headed to. And some of you guys are elderly, at least in my opinion. I'm still young. I look at you, you're elderly, and you're experiencing some of that stuff. And you understand the life. It's not forever. It is temporary. We're in a global attempt to try to do what? Hold on to life. That's what we're trying to do. We're masking, and I'm doing it because I don't want to make anybody else sick. I sure don't want to get sick off of anybody else, but we are trying to hold on to physical life here on earth. And so we got some advice. And if you're listening, I want to give you some advice that Solomon came to this conclusion after he's not just blowing smoke. He didn't read this out of a book. He experienced this firsthand, and after experiencing everything in life, he came to the conclusion. And his advice is this: remember the Creator in the days of your youth, while the evil days come not. So I'm going to divide this up for you a little bit, and we'll just look for a few minutes. Announcements took a little long, and that's okay. But I can shorten this. Somebody once said, if you can't say it in 30 minutes, it's probably not worth saying, you know? So I've got a couple of things that I want to try to bring out from this passage that'll be a benefit to us. And please, if you don't consider yourself a youth, please don't bail out, because the principles that are involved here are the same for somebody who's 18 years old or somebody who's 65 years old and above. And I want to show you some of these principles, because it really makes clear some things about life. And one of the principles that is expressed and implied in this passage is that God wants the best. This is his demand for people. That God wants the best. How do you feel about leftovers? How do you feel about getting second best? Remember one time I read a story, it was a while back, and it illustrated this, and I actually had it in some old notes, about this woman, and she was in the church, and there was a young woman in that church, and so she sent her a dozen wilted roses. A nice box, packaged, you know, and everything. The young woman received it at her house. And she thought, well, you know, it must have just been that she, you know, maybe it got shipped late. Maybe the florist really screwed up or really messed up. And the florist just, you know, gave wilted flowers. Oh, I'm not going to think anything of it. And so she met her that Wednesday night. And she came to church and she said, how did you like your flowers that I sent you? Oh, yeah. I mean, they were nice. But they were a little wilted. And she said, oh, yeah, I know. She said, I had them in my kitchen forever. And she said they were just starting to wilt and to get mildewed. So I thought, you know, this woman would like this. So she packaged up the flower, and I just thought I would send them to you. And she was just kind of taken aback. And she was like, man, what's the deal with that? And she says, and let me tell you why. She says, because I was listening to you talk to one of your friends the other day about how you didn't think that it was worth it to take God seriously now. You were just going to wait until later on. Right now, you had things to do, and you didn't really want to be bothered. So I just wanted to let you know and illustrate how it feels to get leftovers. Now think about this. In our life, what is the best part of life, you know? Well, I wouldn't say the best part, but I'm talking about where there's the most advantage and opportunity. Do you think of youth, right? You think of being young, and when you're young, you're healthy, and generally speaking, and you're strong. We're very much encouraged as parents to take our children and train them while they are young, while they're teachable, while there's opportunity, And I think the general consensus is sometimes that religion, that church is for those people that are older. And there's been a lot of people that have said, you know, I really don't have time for all of this right now, but I have it in my mind that later on I'm going to do this for God and I'm going to do that for God. But right now I'm young. I got things to do. I'm telling you, you know what God wants? God doesn't want leftovers. God wants your best. How about you give them your energy? How about you give them your drive? How about you give them your vitality? How about you remember your Creator in the days of your youth? And you're thinking, well, that's already said and done. I don't have any youth left over. But listen, the principle is still the same. That God wants your best. God doesn't want leftovers. God is not interested. God is insulted with just leftovers. And I think that's the way that a lot of people treat God. They treat Him and His Word as something that you're just going to try to fit in whenever it's possible. I'm telling you, you're not going to fit God in. It's not going to happen. You have to make a conscious decision that I'm going to give this to God. There are people that have never read their Bible, and the reason why they've never read their Bible is they've never made a conscious decision that they're going to give God a portion of their day. I'm telling you, God is deserving. God's deserving of your best. Hey, that's a principle here. No matter what your age is, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. You know what Solomon came to after experiencing everything in life? That it is a good thing to give God your best. How about it? Yeah, your best in your mind, you know, your best time. You know, we try to teach our congregation the way to give. And the way to give is you give God. You don't give them of your leftovers. You don't give them. I'm telling you, you will never be generous with God if you're waiting to see what's left over. It follows into the next part, and that's where he says, remember now thy Creator. Remember now thy Creator. I don't know if you have a problem with procrastination, but I really like the phrase that never do today what you can possibly put off till tomorrow. I mean, I'm just kind of like that. Right now, I'm working for a boss that is actually the complete opposite, and he's everything right here, right now. I'm like, yeah, that can wait, or no, I don't have to do that right now. And that's one thing that if you're using that principle with things here in this life, but I'm telling you, it can be really damaging with God. You know what God wants? God wants you to, how many verses do we have that says, I will seek Him early? Early will I seek thee. Brother once told me one time that it was a sin not to get up early in the morning and to meet with God. And I was like, yeah, I understand that, but, you know, physically, I mean, if I get up too early and then try to meet with God, it's gonna be really bizarre. And I won't go into details on that, but I'm telling you, it is a good principle. It is a good principle. You start your day with God. Start it with God. You know what we do very often is we get up and I was talking with a guy, one of the guys on one of the job sites, and we were kind of talking about, you know, how getting up and getting going. And he says, man, I just love getting up in the morning and getting my coffee and then turning on the news and then, you know, watching the news and then kind of getting ready for the day. And I'm thinking, man, if I want a good day, the last thing in the world I'm going to do is turn on the news. That is the last thing I'm going to do. But I'm telling you something. It makes a difference if you get up in the morning and decide, I'm going to meet with God for a little while before I start my day. And that's just a daily thing. But how about seeking Him early in life? How about seeking Him early in the day? How about also seeking Him? Here's how it phrases it. Look back there at verse 1. It says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not. So what's he implying? He's implying that you take time and energy to seek the Lord before maybe you actually need Him. And this gives the implication that is implied here is one of preparation. What a guy told me one time is, he was explaining something, and he actually used a phrase that came from a preacher. And I think this preacher's name was Bob Gray. And Bob Gray had a piece of advice for people that were young. And he said this. He said, saturate yourself in the scriptures while you're young. And when you're old, it'll be like a well. And you'll be able to draw from it freely. And you know, I bet some of you experienced that. You know what I'm not doing nowadays? I am not memorizing verse after verse anymore. I don't spend my time doing that. When I was young, I did. I memorized a lot. And I'm not saying I made all kinds of right decisions when I was a young Christian, but there was one thing that I did was a blessing, and that I began to memorize scripture. I was discipled by a man who was real strong on the topical memory system and memorizing all these verses, and these verses started getting into my mind, and they started getting into my heart. And I'm telling you something, I needed that. I needed the Word of God, because I didn't have any foundation in the scriptures, and I just started doing that. Now I can see things start coming up in my mind, and there's a verse, and I may not always know exactly where the verse is, but now with technology, I don't have to remember. I just sit on my cell phone and plug it up in a minute. Or remember that it's kind of in the middle of Ephesians on the left right hand side of the page, you know, kind of right there. But I'm telling you something, if you're waiting for a fire to read the directions on the fire extinguisher, you've waited a little too late.
Right.
Early. That means before the troubles come, find out what God says. Before you get into a situation that is going to be real difficult to get out of, study ahead of time what God says, and then you'll be a lot firmer in your decisions. Believe me, especially with young people, and I remember it was the same, and it's the same with every generation. All of us all had the same issues, and that's with peer pressure. Just this desire to be like those that are around us. And that, by the way, doesn't go away with age. It does some. I'm learning now that the older I get, the more set I get in my ways, and there are a lot of things that used to bother me before, and now I don't care if it hair lips everybody around. I just don't care. And you've met old men like that, you know, where you can just tell they just don't care, you know. They just don't. They've already been through it. They've already seen it. They've already been there. But I'm telling you, how about seeking the Lord before the storm comes? Seeking Him before everything just goes to pieces. Strengthen your faith now, because you're going to need it. I'm telling you, there are going to be things come up in life, and you're going to need it. You're going to need God, and you're going to need faith. So in the sense of preparation, but also in the sense of protection. You know what God promises? God promises protection. Seek the Lord. How does He say it here? Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not. If you seek to remember Him and put Him in your life and to put Him first and to give yourself to Him, you are going to save yourself so much heartache. Remember talking with a guy one time, and he was talking about troubles in life, and I said, well, you know, I said, there's one thing that I'm not worried about, because we had talking about a fight that he had been in and how, you know, caused him some trouble and some legal issues and stuff. And I said, one thing I am not worried about. I am not worried about getting in a fight at a pool hall at 2 o'clock in the morning. That will never happen to me. And ah, come on, man, how can you say that? It's because I go home at night.
That's right.
And so, guess what I've just saved myself from? I've saved myself from a potential violent situation. I remember, man, you think they're the good old days, drinking and partying and all of that. I'm telling you, it is a facade and it is a lie. I can honestly say that nothing good happened to me while I was drunk. But a lot of bad things did. And I'm telling you, there is no benefit in it. You know what the Word of God teaches you? The Word of God teaches you something very simple. Don't look on the wine when it's red, when it gives its color in a cup. And it tells you exactly what the consequences of that kind of behavior is. And it tells you about this innate desire and drive in humans, because after he goes through all of the consequences and the man wakes up and doesn't know where he's been, he says, yet I will seek it yet again. I'm telling you, we are self-destructive in our behavior. You said, man, I don't want to follow God. I don't want to give him. He can save you from so much. Life has got all kinds of problems and difficulties in it as it is. But don't you think maybe God's trying to protect you? Maybe God's trying to prepare you. Maybe God's trying to get your attention. Solomon came to this conclusion. And I bet if Solomon were alive on this earth right now today talking to you, he would be saying, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. If he had a chance to get 15, 16, 17-year-olds, 20-year-olds, 22-year-olds, 25-year-olds, his advice would be the same. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And listen, don't bail out on that advice. Well, my youth has already come and gone. Yeah, but right now, how many have the ability to talk and to reason and to think? None of you? Sad. We've learned in church not to raise our hands, because sometimes it comes back to bite you. How many? Wrong! You know, wrong answer. Sorry. Oh, I'm telling you what, you have opportunity right now. You have opportunity right now. What are you waiting for tomorrow for? What are you waiting for next week? What are you planning on? Well, you know, after I get all of this done right here, after that, then I'm going to serve the Lord. And in a certain age group, I hear it so much, just a couple of more years, brother, and I'm going to retire. And then once I retire, then I'm going to, hey, why don't you do something right now? Remember now thy Creator. I'm talking about right now, today. And you say, well, today is not a good day. I got a lot to do. I got things to go. You know, I've got a thing. I'm in debt. No, I'm telling you, don't wait for a better day. Do it right now. Don't wait for an opportune time. Serve God now. Do you realize that there is almost never, I've learned this over the years, there is almost never an opportune time to serve God. It is never, almost never, just naturally happening and flowing. It is always a fight. It is always a distraction. There's always decisions to be made. And if you relax and let the world take control, it's going to run you right away from God, and you're not going to have time to do anything for God. Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. So we're talking about giving God the best, not the worst. You realize that giving yourself as a sacrifice to God according to Romans 12, 1 and 2 is a reasonable service? It's reasonable? Oh, the zealots. Only those that are zealous is going to do something like that. God says, no, it's actually reasonable because he deserves the best. He doesn't deserve leftover wilted flowers. He doesn't deserve a little pittance from your life. He deserves the best. That means he deserves the best part of the day. The best part of your mind, the best part of your finances, the best part of your life. He deserves it, and he ought to get it. And you ought to get to him early. And you ought to strengthen your faith now. And you ought to figure out how God works and what he wants out of your life before it's too late. And then there's also implied in here something else. And this is a demand. And this is something I think people resent more than anything else, is this demand from God. And he says, remember thou thy Creator in the days of thy youth. He said, where do you get a demand out of that? Thy Creator. The fact that he made you. That gives him certain rights. That gives him certain privileges. And you say, nah, it doesn't. Well, everything else in our society points in the other direction. Have you ever heard of copyright infringement? Copyright infringement, what that means is if that you create a piece of intellectual property, in other words, you write a story, or you design some mechanical device, and you put a copyright or a patent on that, then you have the rights to that design. If you create a logo for your business, somebody else cannot come and copy your logo. They are not free to do that. You have certain rights and protections over that which you've created. And we understand that. And we would be very incensed if somebody did that to us. And in the colleges, they are very strong against plagiarism. Remember one time when Matthew, had gotten his name mixed with somebody else, and they accused him of plagiarism, and he's like, man, I don't know what I did, and they had a meeting with him, and he was just sweating bullets. He was like, man, I didn't, and they, oh, after, you know, letting him sweat for 2 or 3 days, they realized, you know what, we got the wrong name. Sorry, you're good. But they have software now. You go through real quick and tell you whether you copied. He said, what's the big deal copying on somebody else? Because it's somebody else's right. So you know what you're doing? If God created you, and then you take your life, your body, your time, and decide you're going to squander it all on yourself, you've just infringed on God's rights. And God has rights to us. He's the creator. He ought to have some say-so in how we live and how we conduct ourselves. He has a demand. And consider that. You think that, and as Americans, we're very much in this mindset, that I've got the right to do whatever I want. You know, I've got the right to do whatever I want. And now, with controls in our society being practiced, I'm like you. I'm going to wear a mask. I'm going to be obedient, but I'm also going to be, I got my eyes open. Because we've got magistrates, we've got mayors, we've got governors that all of a sudden are like, wow, I have this kind of power. Oh, it could get scary. Once you give a politician some sort of power, it's going to be very difficult to take it away from them. And so you just be mindful, you know, kind of watch out, because they're going to exercise power over you. I don't know why I got off on that line right there. I just felt like I had to get it out. But they're going to exercise power. So actually, control is an illusion. Because you think, I've got control over my life. I've got the ability to do what I want. But everything else in nature teaches you that you don't have the ability to do whatever you want. And you really don't have control. And this is the next part that it comes to, because it says, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not. Now, the evil days aren't necessarily temptation or bad times or calamity in this particular passage. In this particular passage, it is specifically talking about old age. And so you're looking at the passage, and what we're talking about is the mouth trembling. We're talking about the teeth being fewer. We're talking about the back being stooped, you know. We're talking about old age. And believe me, if you run across somebody in society, listen, we as Christians of anybody ought to have a tremendous amount of respect for the elderly. The Bible says, rise up before the hoary head. Give respect and honor. And it's a sad thing that our elderly are just kind of throwaways set off on the side. I think it's sad. I think it's really sad. Or we get them into senior citizens groups and get the kids into their groups. You know, the kids, they need to be around old people. Because old people can teach them a thing or two. I remember, I think it was in the Kincaid family, that you guys had that story, and I apologize for telling your story, but you can tell me who it was, but there was somebody, a grandma or something, and some kid said, hey, grandma, when you die, can I have this? And the grandma said to the little kid, what makes you think I'm going to die before you? I'm telling you, that's pretty good. So did I get it right?
I don't remember that story at all.
Okay, because you were in it.
It's not copyrighted.
Not copyrighted. No infringement there. The truth is, this control, man, it's an illusion. And the older you get, the more that the control ebbs away. Until you get to the place you were born, somebody changing your diaper, and you're probably going to die with somebody changing your diaper. That's life, man. This life better not be your dream, because that's where it's headed. And I know I'm saying it in a joking manner, but it is actually a serious deal, because in our families, everybody has watched somebody die. And it's where life is going. And you know what it says right here at the end? After it goes through all of that, you know, being scared of heights, you know, not getting up on ladders anymore, and being careful and slow and all of these things, then the culmination of all of your hopes and dreams and aspirations end up with you going to your long home. And the dust going back to the ground and your spirit going back to God. That's why I got that little phrase on there, we're all going to die. And I know that it's a joke, but it's not a joke. We are all going to die. Maybe not today, but it's the place where everyone is headed. And that's what makes this advice so serious. Solomon, he understands that, and he knows that this is the culmination of all mankind. And so he's trying to plead with people, remember your Creator now in the days of your youth. Because one day, you are gonna stand before God. I've talked with men and women, strong, arrogant, proud, telling me what they're gonna do. I've had men say to my face, I'm not afraid of going to hell. My buddies are there, and when we get down there, we're going to have a party. Well, I want you to know something. A couple of things are true. Yeah, you're going to hell, and your buddies probably are there, but you aren't going to be partying, and there's going to be no reunion. It is going to be the worst horror that you can possibly imagine. Standing before God is... anybody that has ever seen God has fallen flat on their face is dead. No explaining. I just tell God when I get there what I think. No, there's going to be none of that. It says there in verse 7, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God that gave it. So there's going to be some accountability. God is going to demand his rights. And I understand right now, you got the freedom. You got the freedom to turn left or to turn right. You've got the freedom to eat this or not eat that, or go there or don't do this. And it gives you the illusion that you are under, that you have control. But the second that you die, you lose all control. You don't have a choice where you're going. You don't have a choice what happens to you. You end up in the hands of God. Listen, if I could plead with you something, understand this, that you are accountable to God. God is not a figment of an imagination. God is not just a crutch that people use in order to get through life. God is a creator. Everything you see around you, God created. God made everything that you see in total complexity. And God made you. And God has rights over you. And God wants you to seek his face. He wants you to seek him while you're young. He wants you to seek him early. He wants you to give him the most precious, the most valuable part of your life. He wants you to do that because you're going to stand before him one day. And God has done something for you. If you're listening on YouTube and there's really nothing here yet that's really caught your attention, let me tell you something, that God has done something for you, because this is not just about an outward righteousness. What God has done is he has sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sins. He sent him to be the substitute for you. Because here's the absolute truth. You are not good enough to stand before God. You don't have the righteousness. You don't have the background. You are a sinner in the sight of God, and you're not allowed in God's presence in your particular condition. God understood that, and he knew that. He knew you weren't good enough. So God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to this earth. It wasn't a story. It actually happened. And he sent him to become the perfect sacrifice for your sins. Amen. That means instead of you standing before God in judgment, Jesus Christ stood in your place, taking the judgment of God on himself. And now he gives you the chance to get eternal life. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. This is what it's all about. This is about you recognizing that there is a need in your life. I'm not talking about turning over your life. This has nothing to do with self-improvement. This is not self-focused. This is about Jesus Christ dying on the cross for your sins and you acknowledging that that happened and you accepting his free gift of eternal life. Christianity is not about doing good things and stop drinking. I hope you stop drinking. I hope you stop getting high. I hope you stop sleeping around. I hope you can cure your bad habits. But if you cured every bad habit that you had, you still would not be saved. You need Jesus Christ in order to be saved. You need his righteousness. You need to seek him now, while you have opportunity, while you have time. I talked with a young man one time in this church, and he sat by four or five rows back, and I was talking to him about what he heard in the sermon, and I said, man, listen, you got any questions? Are you interested? He was just not interested in any form whatsoever. And that very next night, a Monday night, I got a phone call, and he had been hit in a drive-by shooting in a neighborhood, and they shot up the party where he was, and he didn't make it through the night, and he died and had no more opportunity to seek his face. Listen, you don't have a guarantee of tomorrow. You don't have... It is the most dangerous thing in the world for you to be indifferent and arrogant towards the things of God. You need him worse than you can possibly imagine. And Jesus Christ said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. My prayer is that you would take God seriously on his invitation and that you would call upon his name. That's our prayer here at this church. And if you're not part of our church, but you're listening to our broadcast, I want you to know if you need counsel, you need help, you need us to talk to you, call us. Find out. We've got contact information on our website. We would love to sit down with you and talk to you about the things of God. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, I ask, Lord, that you would take this message to the hearts of all that listen. And Lord, that you would bless us, that you would keep us close to you. And Lord, we just want to express that we have no hope in the things in this life. All our hope, all of our strength, everything we've got is in you. I pray that you would help us with everything in our being and power to be faithful to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you. What we'd like you to do, before you get up out of your chair, please leave your songbooks on the chair and you can depart as a